You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from around about midday with Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We've got the meetings at Ludlow, Southwell and Wincanton in the afternoon. It's Chelmsford City in the evening, and we'll also squeeze in a bit of a Brucey bonus, a few races from Thurles along the way as well. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
I'm not too bad, thank you, Mark. How are you doing, mate?
Yes, not too bad at all.
Good.
Looking forward to some good racing coming up this weekend. We've also got some good racing to preview over the next few days as well. So all good stuff. A bit of news as well with regards to the Cheltenham Festival. News for the Gold Cup, we'll start with that. And the news is that Q-Card will take his place in the lineup for the Gold Cup. There were suggestions that he might go Ryanair instead, but Connections have said no, we want to go for the Gold Cup, and I think it's the right decision.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Connections will probably feel they've unfinished business with regards to the Gold Cup. He, of course, was a faller in the race last year when still banging contention in that race won by Don Cossack. So I'm not surprised to see them have a go. They've already had their crack at the Ryanair. They've won the Ryanair, Marks. They've got nothing more to really prove
in
that respect. And we know that the Gold Cup is the pinnacle of the sport, alongside the Grand National. So to have a horse good enough to have a crack at either of those races, you'd be mad not to have a go, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. And it's something we mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago, probably now, that I thought Q-Card was a good each-way bet in the race at around about 10 to 1, went out to 12s, in fact, because he's more than likely going to run his race. He could still hit the frame. You never know, he might even win the race. And now that we know that he's targeting the race, I think it's a knock-it each-way bet there.
I wouldn't disagree with you. He's 12 to 1 now, as you say, with William Hill. And that price does look tempting. I can't help but feel he's better than what we saw at Kempton at Christmas time. We know he's a horse who really thrives at Cheltenham, particularly in March. He's won the festival now on a number of occasions. He's been placed other times he's visited Cheltenham. And as we just alluded to, he was running such a big race in the Gold Cup last year. So 12 to 1 does look very fair if you're not wanted to get stuck into Thistlecrack at those odds of 11 to 10 on.
Yeah, 11 to 10 on for Thistlecrack. Native River 6 to 1, 8 to 1 Jack Adam. Q-Card 12s in the market there. Outlander 14s, 20s. Allery 33 to 1 are bigger prices for the others. The market could change significantly again should Allery go and win the Peter Marsh Chase at the weekend. He's got, I think, he's a mark of 162 to defy, which means he would be a Gold Cup horse, really, if he wins that race.
If he wins, he's a Gold Cup horse, and Connections are clearly talking him up. But I think you'd want to see Allery run first, wouldn't you, before you do anything with regards to backing him for a Gold Cup.
Yeah, he is currently 3-1 favourite for the Peter Marsh Chase, by the way. Maybe have a go on that, and then if he wins, put your winnings on him in the Gold Cup, perhaps, or something like that. Or I suppose the other way is you could take a chance before he runs in that, knowing that his price will probably shorten, but it is a chance that you're taking. I want to talk to you about the Champion Hurdle as well, Sean. The entries are out for the Champion Hurdle today. Willie Mullins, with just the 9 runners in the entries at this point, I think he's bidding to equal the record for 5 Champion Hurdle successes.
Yes.
He's got the principals in the market here as well. Fahin 2-1, Yanworth 9-2, Annie Power 5-1, Petit Mouchoir is 15-2, 12-1 Brain Power, Vroom Vroom Mag 14s, 20 Superb Story and the new one 25-1, or bigger prices for the others. The noises from the Willie Mullins camp seem to be that Fahin will be, well, he won't be stepping up in trip to the 3 miles for the Stayers Hurdle. So would you be backing him at 2-1 for the Champion Hurdle?
I think if you are a Fahin fan and believe he'll get on the track either before the Champion Hurdle or come the Champion Hurdle, then yes, I probably would. And if you are a Fahin fan, then I think the positive and one of the main hopes you'll be clinging on to, Mark, is that Willie Mullins is a trainer who has proven himself more than capable of getting a horse ready for Cheltenham for the big day, either off the back of one run or no runs. We saw it with The champion hurdle winner Annie Power last year, she just had the one start going into the race in minor company. We saw it year on year in the mares hurdle with Quavega. He's one of the greatest jump trainers of all time, and I'm sure if Fahin turns up on the 14th of March at Cheltenham that he will be in prime order and he'll be the one that they have to beat.
I'm just trying to think. I obviously don't know, but you'd imagine they'll try and get a run into him before the festival, wouldn't you?
I would have thought so. I'd have thought it will be a run in minor company. They'll probably try and find a conditions race back in Ireland and almost enable him to have a race course gallop mark rather than him having too grueling a race. Although the Irish Champion Hurdle has been mooted, hasn't it?
Mm.
For himself and Annie Power, both hold entries in the Irish Champion Hurdle. Of course, if either of them were to run in that, that's the end of this month.
Yeah.
You've got loads of time to get to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't worry me unduly. Just looking at Annie Power last year, I mean, she ran in the middle of February at Punchestown in a mares hurdle. There were only three runners. Now, clearly, Fahin can't run in a mares hurdle, but they'll try and find something similar for Fahin if he misses the Irish Champion Hurdle.
Hmm. Yes, we're yet to see how that all pans out, I suppose. The real hard one to figure out is where Annie Power goes, isn't it? Because she's 5-1 in the market for the Champion Hurdle.
Mm.
I wouldn't see... Rich Richie isn't the kind of guy that runs his horses against each other, really.
No.
So if Fahin does go Champion Hurdle, does that mean Annie Power then goes mares? Or does that mean she go World Hurdle?
I would have thought she'll go for the mares hurdle. Certainly, you'd imagine Rich Richie would be more open to the idea of pitting her and Vroom Vroom Maggin against each other in the mares in a bid to have two in that race rather than the apple of his eye, Annie Power, taking on another horse who he holds in the highest regard in Fahin. So that would appear more likely to me.
That's all plenty of water to go under the bridge, obviously, before we get to the Champion Hurdle. So let's talk about some other news. Good news for the sport in general. The second most attended sport behind football once again. Back up to second in the table, if you like.
Yeah, well, the racing is always going to play second fiddle to football, you feel. That's not surprising, Mark, but it's great to see how well attended it was throughout 2016 and that punters are paying to go through the gates. Clearly, the crown racing's crown jewels, the likes of Royal Ascot and Cheltenham, draw in the biggest crowds. But each meeting plays its part, and racing does need to get these huge attendances because we need the sport to be in the public's eye, and we need people talking about racing to generate interest in it. And it's good to see that. Things appear to be healthy with the sport in that respect.
Yeah, it is good. Obviously, the Cheltenham Festival gets huge numbers nowadays. The Grand National as well at Aintree gets big numbers. There was a time, of course, what was it, 20, 30 years ago when the Grand National was struggling. So it's good to see that.
I know that the revamp that they've given that race and that race course is huge, and it's been a massive success.
Hmm.
Who knows? This is moving on to a slightly different topic, of course, but if the Jockey Club were to give Sandown that kind of facelift, there's talk of Sandown getting a facelift if all these plans surrounding Kempton were to take place.
Mm.
If we were to see a Sandown that not rivalled but almost matched and played its part in the jumps calendar like Cheltenham and Aintree do alongside Cheltenham and Aintree, we mightn't be complaining in 20 years' time.
Yeah. I can't dread to think what I'll be doing in 20 years' time.
Do you think we'll still be sat in this room, Mark?
I probably will be.
You don't sound so confident about me.
Do
you know something I don't?
Maybe you'll have moved on to other things.
All right, okay.
You'll be training in your own right by then, won't you?
Possibly, yeah.
I might have managed to cling on to my job for that long.
Heaven forbid the likes of yourself, Alex Dunn and Sam Norris might be running the show back, see?
Anyway, let's move on to this weekend's action. We're going to have a quick gander towards the Clarence House Chase, which is obviously a Grade 1 contest coming up this weekend at Ascot. A good race to look forward to and a good race to look back at as well. And this is where we wheel in the piano and we take a trip down memory lane. Yeah. The Clarence House Chase, Sean. Favourite memory in the race?
This is a very, very selfish memory, a very selfish reason for pulling this horse up, but Masterminded's win in 2011 stands out to me because I was in Manchester at the time with not a lot of money to my name and thought this horse was the greatest 4-7 shot of all time mark.
Yeah.
And duly pulled together everything I had to back him. And I remember AP McCoy kicking him in the belly from a good way out and him just holding on by the narrowest of margins from Somersby. He won by a short head. It really was heart in the mouth stuff. And AP McCoy actually said to the pressman after the ride that he gave him a bad ride. He kicked him in the belly from too far out. I certainly thought he had. The light came just in time, though, for Masterminded. We'd probably seen the best of this horse by that stage. He'd already won a champion chase and had produced some of his very best performances. But that was the second last Grade 1 race that he won. He disappointed in the champion chase on the back of that, but then came out to the Grand National meeting over 2.5 miles and won another Grade 1, beating Alberta's run. But yeah, that stands out in my mind. But as you said, we've had some great winners of this race in the past. Back in 1989, I think that was the first year the race was won. Desert Orchid won it. Viking Flagship won it in the 90s. It was great for the North. Turgenev won it for Tim Easterby back in 2002. Well Chief, Masterminded, as we mentioned, Twist Magic, Sprinter Sacra, Sire de Grugy, Underso last year. If anything, looking at the race, the Roll of Honour, it's been getting stronger in recent years. In the past, we had good horses win, and then there might have been a couple of years where it might have been a little bit below par. But the last 6 or 7 years, you certainly couldn't say that, Mark.
No, you look at the recent winners of the race, they've all won the champion chase at some point, haven't they? Sprinter Sacra, Sire de Grugy, Dodging Bullets, Masterminded. So yeah, and I loved Masterminded. I thought he was, but in that era when you had Masterminded and Corto Star and Big Books and the Ditch Eat Four, that was when I was really, really getting into racing and superb. And Masterminded was a big part of that.
So. Yeah, he was. He came just on the coattails, didn't he?
Didn't mention Denman. I should have mentioned Denman there, shouldn't I?
Yeah, probably folly to forget Denman anyway. But he did just come on the coattails of those greats, and it was fantastic to see. We'd seen the likes of Corto and Denman light up the staying chase scene, and Masterminded came along to really take the mantle off the likes of we'd seen Well Chief, Moscow Flyer, Zertiop and Voipor of Steadies. Then Masterminded carried on the Roll of Honour, so to speak.
Yeah, great memory to look back at there. That was Masterminded winning the 2011 Clarence House Chase on our latest walk down memory lane.
You like that, don't you, Mark?
I do, yeah. I almost become like one of those jazz shows when it's like, welcome to memory lane. Sit behind a piano with a fag in my mouth.
Well, we better stick to racing, or certainly not light up any fags in here anyway.
That's Memory Lane, then another edition of that. We've got the Clarence House coming up this week, and of course, I suppose we should talk about this year's renewal. Underso, 5-6 market leader, ahead of Armad, who's 2-1, 10-1, sorry, for Special Tiara. Royal Regatta is 12-1, 14's Top Gamble, and bigger prices for the others. Last year's winner, of course, Underso, coming back for another tilt at it. I thought Armad was quite interesting, though, if he settles down from his reappearance. Is it between the two, as the market suggests?
Yes, I would have thought so. Special Tiara's having a good season as well, of course, but probably just falls short when he comes up against the very best. I like Underso, though. He looked good last time out. As you mentioned, he won the race last year, and he's definitely the benchmark.
Okay, 5-6 for Underso in the market at the moment for the Clarence House Chase. That, of course, comes up this weekend, and you'll be able to hear the action on William Hill Racing Radio. Right now, we're going to move on to matters closer to hand. We're going to look at Thursday's racing. Sean has four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Thursday's action. We start in the 140 at Wincanton, which is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. We've got a field of 11 set to go to post for this one, Sean. Who'd you like in there?
As you said, this is a well-contested race and quite a wide-open race. We should start with the top horse, Walt, who will be, if not the favourite, one of the favourites here. This horse carries a penalty as a result of a win at Fontwell 11 days ago over Grand Gold. That was only his second start in handicap company, so it was good to see that he's able to operate off this kind of mark. He ran really well on his handicap debut the time before at Ascot when finishing third in a what was quite a hot race as you'd expect. But he definitely built on that last time out. This will be the last time that he gets into a 0-1-2-5 for quite a while. So I can see why connections are wanting to strike while the iron is hot. Neil Mulholland has booked James King to ride the horse. He takes £7 off his back. He's very good value for his £7 claim. So I think that's a positive for Walton. I think he is the one to beat of the others. Well, you've got another horse coming into it on the back of a win in All for the Best, who won at Sedgefield last time out for Robert Stevens. This horse is quite lightly raced in handicaps. He's only had the three starts. He beat Mr. Snoozy in a race that's worked out okay on Boxing Day at Sedgefield. I think this race is tougher. He'll need to step up a little bit further. Wizard's Bridge was beaten a fair way last time out, but showed more like it when third to KK Lexian in quite a decent handicap hurdle at Wincanton only 12 days ago. If he can build on that, then he's interesting. Another interesting point with Wizard's Bridge is that Angus Chaleda takes the ride. This young man claims £10, so he's yet to ride three winners to lose that £10 claim. But I think the last time he got on him was at Chepstow back in November, and they teamed up to success in a handicap hurdle, which has, again, worked out quite well. So Wizard's Bridge's profile is a little bit patchy, Mark, but when he puts his best foot forward, he's quite capable. And whilst I fancy Walt to win this, I think he might give him most to think about.
Okay, Walt to win it then, Wizard's Bridge to give him most to think about. The next race we look at is the 320 at Wincanton. This is the Somerset National Handicap Chase. It's over the extended 3.25 miles. Got a field of 12 to go to post here, and everybody loves a good national. Sean, who wins the Somerset version?
Barton Gift was in great form when bringing a bit of a surprise 4 weeks ago to win at Bangor. He's a horse who's well suited by marathon trips. The handicap has put him up £6 for that. That might just be enough to stop him in what is a more competitive race. Dawson City is a horse who tends to run well in these staying contests. Last time out at Plumpton, he finished second in a race similar to this. That was the Sussex National. He was beaten a length and three quarters by Morny Wing, who again runs here. Morny Wing was due to be ridden by Noel Feely. Last time out, Paddy Brennan took the ride as Noel Feely wasn't feeling well. Noel Feely gets on board this afternoon, and I don't think it'll be. I don't think there'll be much in it between both Morny Wing and Dawson City. But Dawson City is a horse who thrives in these staying contests, and he'd probably get the vote for me, Mark.
Yeah, he finished runner-up in this race last year.
As you say, he's got course and distance form, and clearly is often in great heart at this time of year, as he proved at Plumpton last time out.
Mm, finished behind Golden Chieftain last year, which is not a bad piece of form.
No.
Is he the selection this time around?
Yeah, he'll get the vote, Dawson City.
Okay. Moving on to the next race we look at, the 335 at Ludlow, and this is His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales Challenge Trophy, which is for amateur riders, a handicap chase over 2 miles and almost 3 miles, in fact. Eight of them to go to post here, and I was speaking to Bruni earlier on, and okay. He tells me that this race is named as it is because His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales won a race at the course once.
Okay, Gordon would know.
Yeah,
I'm sure that is right. I mean, this race is quite open. Still Believing was a good winner at Cheltenham last time out under Adam Wedge in a handicap chase off a mark of 116. The handicap has put him up to 126, but I think he had to, really, given how well he won at Cheltenham in December. And Evan Williams will be hopeful that this horse can go in again. Evan's already had a couple of winners this week. I think he did a double at Ayr on Tuesday afternoon, so his string are going pretty well. And Still Believing will be the likely favourite of the rest of them. A lot of these horses come into this race on the back of disappointing efforts, either pulling up last time out or unseating. A lot of them pulled up last time out. A horse that would take a bit of forgiving, but if you could forgive him, would have a chance at his best is Royal Palladium, who won two starts back at Exeter for Venetia Williams, but then disappointed at Newbury. And similarly, I Am Colin, who was a winner two starts back at Bangor, and again pulled up in that same said Newbury race as Royal Palladium. So if either of those two got back to their best, I'd consider them players here, but I think Still Believing is a more solid proposition.
Still Believing then, the selection for Sean in the 335 at Ludlow, and the final race we look at is the 730 at Chelmsford City. Bit of all-weather action to finish. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter, a field of 10 set to go to post for this one. We can start with House of Commons here, Sean, who arrives here in winning form, was a winner at Southwell last time, so obviously a different surface on Thursday evening.
Yep, he's got that to contend with. He beat another horse who loves it at Southwell in Anton Sugar last time out, so that form looks strong for the track. He's got to equate that, though, to a different surface here at Chelmsford, and he hadn't shown anything quite like that form in the run up to that that subtle race, Mark. But he is in good form. He represents a yard who's going well, Michael Appleby, as he so often does around this time of year. He's got an okay berth in stall five. He will be the likely favourite, and he's the one they have to beat. But I'll take a chance on the Mark Johnson horse here at Ravenhoe, who was just touched off at Wolverhampton last time out, beaten ahead by Tan Arabic. That was a step back in the right direction for Ravenhoe, who's also got form here at Chelmsford, was second here, three starts back, rather. And I think he'll be quite a decent price. I'd probably put him up as the each-way selection in this race.
Ravenhoe each way then in the 7:30 at Chelmsford City. As usual, Sean, a little bit of a quick summary before you go, if you just want to confirm your selections for us then, if you like, for Thursday.
Sure thing. In the 140 at Wincanton, I'm going to go with Walt to defy that penalty he carries as a result of the Fontwell win last time. We then go to Wincanton for the Somerset National, and I think Dawson City can reverse recent placings with Morney Wing and run out the winner here. It's then on to the 3:35 at Ludlow, the His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales Challenge Trophy. And I'm going to go with Still Believing to follow up that Cheltenham win 41 days ago. And then on to Chelmsford in the evening. I think Ravenhoe could run well at quite decent odds for Mark Johnson and his team.
Superb. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Sean Quinn on Thursday's racing. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from midday. Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Rory DeLaghi, the team in the studio. It's Ludlow, Southwell and Wincanton in the afternoon. It's Chelmsford City in the evening. And we'll chuck in a couple of races from Thurles as well as they get underway a little bit earlier than the UK stuff. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.